This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
So it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Brock Heward, the new Brock Heward, new and improved Brock Heward. He used to just come on and we'd talk about Seahawks and sports stuff, but Brock is just on fire about the stay-at-home and the government overrun of our lives. And I like the new outspoken, fiery Brock Heward. So Brock's going to join us at 12:30 or 1:30, right after the bottom of the hour news here on the Dory Monson Show. Also coming up, a gym owner up in Arlington, he opened his gym about a week and a half ago. The state said, we're going to sue you. And they were threatening him, I'm not making this up, with $1 million per day fine if he stayed open. $1 million per day. It was going to be a $2,000 fine per customer. And he's had about 500 people a day coming in since he reopened. So that works out to $1 million per day that Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson, a guy who's just been a job creator, a tax provider, a business owner his whole life. And you have this thuggery going on. We released the gun felons so they can go attack 65-year-old women in Everett Parks. We release them from prison, but we're threatening the business owners. None of this makes any sense to me. You just heard the breaking news in the last hour. Seafair is finished for 2020. No torchlight parade, no hydros, no blue angels. And Nicole, first of all, you called it several weeks ago, Nicole. You said that when the Space Needle fireworks got canceled because of high winds, you said that was a harbinger of just a really lousy year ahead. And that seems to be a good call by you.
And to be clear, it was a meme. I can't take credit for it completely.
No, I heard it from you. I don't follow memes.
Okay, that's fair. And that was for the New Year's fireworks, for the ones that were canceled. Right. And now the 4th of July fireworks are canceled.
Right. I meant New Year's, if I didn't say that.
And you know what?
Here's the thing.
This was our year, Dory.
About the Seafair thing. Okay, well, here's the thing. So one of the things on my lifetime goals list, and I talk about it a lot, and I've had a lot of adventure stuff on that list. And so that's why I've skydived live on the air, bungee jumped live on the air. I rode in a hydroplane, the old Miss Bardol, which was a thrilling and scary experience. I've driven a NASCAR. But one of the things on my lifetime goals list is I want to fly with the Blue Angels. And they usually give the media seat to TV people because they like the visuals, which is kind of really outmoded thinking by Seafair, because with all our digital platforms, we do as much visually as TV stations these days. But anyway, they often give it to TV people, and that remains on my goals list. And so tell the listeners what you started telling me a few months ago about this year's Blue Angels, Nicole.
Well, since I took over this job, I've tried every year. And every year I feel like I get a little bit closer. This year was definitely the closest. And they actually, the priority goes to their media partners. And although sometimes, you know, they might buy with us a little bit, but they were not considered partners. And so that's why we haven't got priority in the past. But but this year I really felt good about it. And now I feel like it'll be extra hard because they skipped a year.
But yeah, you've been telling me. Yeah, I've been talking to the right people, and it looks like it's going to happen 2020. You were very confident. You said, "I'm pretty sure you're going to fly with the Blue Angels this year." And I've been getting excited for that. I've been looking forward to it. And now today I find out that just as we're on the cusp of my lifetime goals list breakthrough, once again, the fickle finger of fate points its boniness at me and says, no flying for you this year.
I'm just not sure it's meant to be. Maybe it has something to do with your health and you shouldn't do it.
What are you talking about? I've put all that behind me. I'm healthy as a horse now. I got the knee fixed. I'm ready to roll.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, maybe it happened for a reason. I'm not meant to fly with the Blue Angels.
No, I'm meant to fly. I'm meant to do this. So anyway, that's my personal little gripe with Seafair being canceled this year. This is personal for me now. And here's the other thing. I heard the news story about how San Juan County is moving to phase two, but there's still no tourism allowed. And I heard Jay Inslee at his press conference a couple of days ago. All these people think that we're going to get to phase two on June 1st, because that's what he's been laying out as a possibility. But I've been looking at the data. And if he goes by the data he's been saying are prereqs for advancing phases, we're not going to get to phase two in the central Puget Sound area, King, Snohomish, Pierce, on June 1st. And what I think has happened, this is what I truly believe. I talked at the beginning of the show. There's this new poll out today that says Inslee has a 63% approval rating, which I find just absolutely mind-blowing. But I look at the data. We're not going to be moving to phase two if he sticks to what he says are necessary data points to move on. He was asked about this at his press conference 2 days ago.
As far as June 1, look, we would really like to move to phase two, but we cannot guarantee when that will happen. That will depend on the status of the virus. It will depend on our ability to set up a very strong testing, contact tracing, and isolation protocol. And it will depend on our ability to make sure that those two things we have confidence will continue. And we will be able to make those decisions in the days leading up to that period of time, and not before, unfortunately. And I wish it were otherwise.
So you have all these business owners who they need to plan. They need to know if they're going to be able to survive. And he said, well, I'm not going to know until just days before June 1st. What I am confident is happening is that Jay Inslee is just stringing us along. And he's gotten enough of these dopey, blind Kool-Aid drinking followers that just believe everything. And so they say, he says he's going to try to do it by June 1st. And then we're going to get to the end of May. And I hope I'm wrong. And if Jay Inslee proves me wrong, I will gladly admit it. But I think we're going to get close to June 1st. And he's going to say, we haven't hit the data points. And we've got to extend this. And he's just going to string us along. But he's going to do it in this manner. He's going to dangle these things that are, just beyond our reach. And then when we get there, he's going, we got to just keep everything shut down a little bit longer, because he's hoping to get a state income tax out of all of this. He has stated that he wants to implement his climate change agenda and use COVID-19 as the excuse for ramming that through. So anyway, mark my words, call me out if I'm wrong. I just don't believe that we're going to get to the next phase on June 1st. Like he is claiming and like most of the media seem to be buying into. So we'll see. And I'm talking about the central Puget Sound area, King, Snohomish, Pierce. I think that Jay Inslee loves stringing us along like this. And I will tell you, I mentioned that he has this overwhelming approval rating in this new poll. I said 63% approval. No, that's wrong. 67%. Now, a lot of people are saying, who in the world did this poll? It is the state Democratic Party that did the poll. It's a Survey Monkey poll. But they said that Jay Inslee's COVID response approval rating is 67%. And they said that's 24 points higher than Trump's approval rating. A million people newly unemployed. We're getting strung along on when we get to phase two. He tries to use this crisis to get his cousin's business, multi-million dollar contracts from the state before somebody down the chain said, this isn't going to look good, Governor, when you bump cousin Mike to the top. He states on Bernie Sanders' website he wants to use COVID-19 to push through his climate change agenda. And as I said an hour ago, if people truly, overwhelmingly approve of that, I'm going to stay out of step. I'm not going to modify my show because of public opinion. I'm not going to, you should probably soften it on Inslee, Dory, because the people overwhelmingly support him. No, I'll support him when he does stuff that is worthy of support. And when he uses nepotism for his cousin, and when he says he's going to use a economic calamity for families to push through his climate agenda. He's even getting, the national media, they actually quote me on this this reporter on Tucker Carlson last night. They don't mention me by name, but they quoted things that I wrote in my Northwest story about Inslee using, on Bernie Sanders' website, saying that he's going to use this to push through a climate change agenda.
And apparently so do a lot of other Democrats, like Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, who thinks now is the time to push green tactics.
Well, and we should not be intimidated when people say, oh, you can't use this COVID crisis, to peddle a solution to climate change. No, we have to recognize the necessity of this moment.
Even Seattle media criticized the comment as tone deaf and, quote, disgusting, saying instead of focusing on his environmental agenda, he needs to focus on the state's collapsing economy.
Yeah, and those quotes were from my Northwest story where I did call it disgusting and tone deaf. So the national media is certainly recognizing the ridiculousness of Jay Inslee trying to push through climate change right now.
He does only come in the bottom out of the 50 governors, because they did it was a poll of the whole country. And out of the 50 governors, I think he's in the bottom 20. So he doesn't, there's definitely others doing better according to who they polled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but Inslee, according to this poll, Inslee's doing great. And I will just remain out of step and out of touch, I guess. Because I do present facts and data that show that this is horrendous, what he's doing to our economy. Next up in the Fastest 15, Nicole, should I play these from top to bottom instead of bottom to top? The skateboard thing?
No.
I think so. Yeah, this is, Okay, I got the order. It's just different from what we usually do. This is really cool. This is really sweet. A FedEx driver down in Georgia, a little kid gave him this ratty skateboard. I mean, it was well used. It was just completely beat up. And the kid had taken a Sharpie, and at the top of the board, he wrote "To Tony Hawk." And at the bottom, he wrote "From Cooper." And then he chased down this FedEx driver named Mikhail.
So I'm doing my delivery route today, and I see this little kid chasing my truck, trying to flag me down. He's like, excuse me. So I pull over. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, can you mail something for me? I was like, yeah, sure. And he runs in his house. He comes back out and he goes, hey, sir, do you know the pro skater Tony Hawk? I was like, yeah, I know who he is. He goes, can you mail this to him? And this is what it was. He says, get this to Tony Hawk for me. Tell him it's from Cooper. And I just thought it was adorable. His mom comes outside and kind of winks and was like, yeah, make sure you get it to Tony Hawk. Obviously, I can't mail it to Tony Hawk. I don't know Tony Hawk's address. But the least I could do was put it out there in the universe. So, Tony, if you see this, Cooper in Suwanee, Georgia is a big fan. Maybe you can give him a shout out. And the next time I drive by his house, I'll show him the video. And it'll probably make his whole life.
So it's just really sweet. And, you know, I love all these delivery guys. I've struck up so many conversations with them as they, you know, so much from our house at our house. We're just getting delivered these days. And they're just such great salt of the earth people. So anyway, he makes this little Instagram video hoping that Tony Hawk will somehow see it. And wouldn't you know it.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for the overwhelming love and support you gave the last video I did.
Oh, let me play it in a little different order. So, lo and behold, Tony Hawk did see the FedEx driver's video. Tony Hawk recorded this for the little kid.
Hey, Cooper, what's up? It's Tony Hawk, and I just want to say thank you so much for the skateboard. It's on its way to my house already, and as a thank you gift, I'm going to send you my skateboard, this one right here that I'm riding. All right? Thanks, buddy. I hope to meet you sometime.
And he holds up his beautiful personal skateboard that he's going to send to little Cooper. And then we wrap it up with a bow here.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for the overwhelming love and support you gave the last video I did about Cooper. And to Tony Hawk, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to do something so kind for this kid. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. You've earned a lot of respect from me. And I want you all to meet somebody.
Hello.
What's up, Cooper? What do you want to say to Tony?
I just want to say thank you for the skateboard. And you're a very good skater.
That's awesome, man. Hey, you're such a sweet kid, and I'm really glad this worked out for you. So, yeah, keep skating.
Hey, Tony. Hi, I just want.
And this is Cooper's older brother with him.
I just said that I'm a huge fan, and I really, really, really like you. And there's a board coming your way, so be prepared. And yeah, I think you're great.
That's awesome. So that was Cooper and his older brother, Tucker. Great kids.
How cool is, and both kids, they just look like, I think he's about 6 years old, Cooper. And he looks like a little skater kid. He's got blonde hair down to his shoulders, and so does his brother. And Tony Hawk seems like a really cool dude, too. So that's our sweet story for the day, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, coming up right after the news, the new controversial Brock Huard joins me next here on the Dory Monson.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon. That means that it's time for our weekly visit with Brock Huard, Fox Sports, 710 ESPN. And, man, I got to tell you, Brock, my listeners love the new controversial Brock.
Oh, I finished up last week, Dory, and I left the room here and had a friend over, and I said, uh-oh. That I just let it go. And yeah. It's funny in radio because you do get feedback from people, emails or texts or social media. And This week's been a little bit different. And in fact, Don and Kathy, if you're listening right now, they said they would be. I saw them on a walk yesterday, and even they were like, man, I just love Dory. Thank you guys for just, you know, telling the truth and sharing your experience. So yeah, even out and about walking and filling up gas tanks, had a bunch of folks. Dory, you got a lot of listeners all over the place. And I do think they appreciate, because you're a voice that is not, well, you're kind of the lone voice out there. You know,
well, it's really weird because we're seeing some real life data now out of Florida, for example, where the governor, the media said he's going to kill people. There's going to be widespread deaths because he reopened the state weeks ago. But what he did was he said, let's focus. We have all these retirement communities, these long-term care facilities. And he said, we are going to focus on protecting the most vulnerable, and we're going to get the rest of the state back to work and with precautions, you know,
yeah.
Wear masks, work from home if you can. And we're getting new data just today, Brock, that his approach is working great. And yet the media, you know, they were calling him a killer a few weeks ago. And I'm just, I'm amazed that there aren't more people questioning the destruction of our economy.
Well, it's just, what way do you want to look at it, Dory? Right? I mean, it is remarkable. We've talked about this a lot on and off the air. What numbers are you ever going to agree on? You can put a number in front of somebody and they say, well, but I don't know about that. No, that's the number. There's not a debate about it. It reminds me, and I got to keep names out of this one, but it reminds me of a friend of mine that was a player, and he had an injury, and he went to see one of the renowned orthopedic surgeons at the time. And he went and visited him, and it was quite a hassle, a long ways away and everything else. Walks in the room, and the orthopedist says, how you doing? And the player says, well, doing pretty good, you know, long trip. More importantly, what do you think of the MRI and everything else? And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And said player says, what do you mean what I want to do? You tell me, you're the esteemed doctor. Like, what do I need? Well, do you want to practice? Do you want to do training camp? Do you want surgery? Do you want to be out for 6 months? I mean, what do you want? And the player's like, honestly, thought there was a camera. The team had to have planted a camera somewhere in the room. Like,
right.
Am I on punked? What is going on here? What do I want? You're the expert. You tell me. I came to see you, but you can spin that, and he could spin that any way he wanted for the player, for the team. And, you know, he kind of put it back on said player to make his own diagnosis. And unfortunately, I think that's what's happening with so many said governors. Well, you know what? We'll just look at the numbers the way we want to look at the numbers and don't really care. You know, I shot you that little note the other day that we used to do at ESPN, what was called a blind resume, right? When you're deciding who should make the playoff or who should make the BCS before. And you just put the resume up there, strength of schedule, win loss, wins versus top 25. They do this in the NCAA basketball tournament. What's their resume? Well, what's their wins versus quality opponent? You can just put it up there, right? And put California, Florida, Texas, and New York up. And go ahead and put any numbers you want. Go ahead. You can let any number you want up there, but you've got to have the most important ones of deaths in their state, of hospitalizations, of right population, of budget. Go ahead and look at it. And it's a pretty remarkable blind resume because there's two doing it better than everybody else.
Yeah, those are the four most populous states, and the ones that reopened the earliest, that being Texas and Florida, they have the fewest deaths. And so there's, you know, I hear our governor talking about data and facts, and yet nobody's questioning him on that. And then we had a story, I don't know if you heard this, right at the beginning of my show today, Brock. We released 1,000 felons from prison for their safety. And a couple of days ago, one of those felons we released, a 33-year-old guy, according to police documents, a woman was just walking on a trail in Everett in her 60s. She sat down on a bench for a moment, and this guy out of nowhere comes up, starts choking her from behind, tried to choke her out. She got free long enough to scream bloody murder. The guy was high on meth, just released from prison early because we were worried for his safety because of coronavirus. And, Yeah. And here's a woman brutally attacked. She'll never forget this experience. She'll never want to go for a walk by herself again. And it's like we're just ignoring real life so people can put their own spin on things.
What lives are we saving, Dory? Right, I drive on that freeway, and you do, and you see it. Way to go, Washington. You know, staying home, saving lives. Saving lives. Whose lives? What lives? And what lives are at cost here? You know, I think the other thing that has really jumped out to me, and last week I went off the handle largely because of the young people, right? And some of the youth and some of them just have lost it with school. Even the most conscientious are just like done. They need play. They need interaction. I was at the gas station yesterday, Dory, and I looked over and there was an older woman there and she had a paper towel on the gas hosel and mask on and everything. And she was just like, this is the first time I've filled up my tank of gas since February. It's the first time I've done this. And since February, I just haven't been out. You know, you're just locked into that. And I think, you know, the longer we go, the land of the free and the home of the brave, we are becoming the home of the fearful, and you can just feel it. I don't know if you do, if you get out quite as much, and I know you're busy, you know, laying these shows out every single day and trying to speak truth and speak science and speak data and speak numbers and speak sense. So I don't know how much you're out and about, but man, it is overwhelming the amount of fear that you are now feeling in this state and in these communities more than ever.
A fearful populace is the most easily controlled populace. You're listening to the newly hyper-controversial Brock Huard. But I want to get away from controversy for just a minute. Yeah. Tell my listeners, you sent me the sweetest text about something you had received from a card collector. I mean, it was just very funny, first of all, the whole thing. But tell my listeners about that story.
Yeah, so piece of mail come to me, and occasionally I'll still get some fan mail with cards and sign them back, and so I had a few. It'd been a while since I'd been in the office, so I had some of them to get to, and opened them up and started signing them, and then I opened this one up, and I was like, oh shoot, it doesn't have a return address or a return envelope. And then I started actually reading the letter, and it was a gentleman, and he gave me his business card. He's in insurance down in Louisiana. He's an LSU fan. And he said, enclosed, and he wrote me a nice letter, are a few of your old business cards. Well, my football cards, but that's okay. My wife made me consolidate all of the cards, and I'm sure many people are doing that. He said, after seeing you in a few of your games at Washington, I acquired a few of your cards. Since the investment potential has passed, and I hate to throw anything away, I wanted you to have them back. And then P.S., if you're ever assigned an LSU game, a cold beer is on me. So he was kind enough to realize that my career was a bust, my cards were worth nothing, and instead of throwing them out, his investment gone bad could at least be sent back to me, and I could have them for my own use. I just laughed out loud at the table yesterday and thought that was so doggone funny.
Oh, I did too. You sent me a picture of the letter he sent it. So he collects these rookie cards, hoping that they'll turn into gigantic superstars and be worth a fortune. But the honesty of that line to you, since the investment potential has passed, that was awesome. That was really good.
So I think that's what's happened, Dory. You know, since sports has gone, they're gone. I don't have any more potential when it comes to doing any sports analysis. So I better step it up on this side when I get an opportunity to talk to you.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm still bullish on you. Okay. All right. Brock Huard, you can hear his podcasts Above and Beyond and with Salk. You got to go to mynorthwest.com. You can check those out. He's on Fox Sports. And we'll talk about football stuff. And is the season going to start next week, maybe?
Sounds good.
Brock, I appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for popping on with me.
Always a blast, Dory. Thank you, bud.
Okay, Brock Huard joining us as he does every Wednesday. And we have lots more straight ahead. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
Other casualties in this whole coronavirus stay-at-home thing is more and more we are not only being treated by children, but we're acting like children. Like, we can't do or figure out anything in our lives without government telling us all their new rules. You know, like this week, Jay Inslee said golfers, he had opened it up for twosomes only a couple of weeks ago. Now he says you can have a foursome. What's the data, daddy, that supports that? How is it not safe to have a twosome last week, but now you can, or to not have a foursome last week, but you can this week? I just saw today, somebody just texted me a photo. They've opened up the boat launch at Shilshol, but only for the tribes and commercial fishermen. So how does that help in a health crisis? If it's dangerous to be out fishing, why would you open it up to the tribes and to the commercial fishermen? But it's not. So you should open up to everybody. Back in Nassau County in New York, a county executive actually made this video today to explain the rules if you want to go outside and play tennis.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X or put someone's initials on them.
This isn't a joke. That's the Nassau County executive. So you can touch, you can't touch people's balls, but you can kick people's balls. Got it? Okay, Big Lead at 2 is next.